course, like initially intended to make a honorable MEC here. This is a presentation outline, but I just put all these things because as per specifications or terms of reference, but of course I'll zoom into the areas that the Honorable Chair and the members indicated earlier when we were dealing with the presentation from National. This is just overview of the province. I won't bore you with overview of the province. We also put the slide that talks to the food security status over the past 5 years. We thought it's very much important as agriculture is more on making sure that people put something on the table. And this indicates that actually in Limpopo, the food or grain production, as is known, is actually helping in terms of the food security, and is almost 74%. And also in terms of livestock, we are at 26.5%, while poultry production is 14.25%, fruit and vegetables at 25.3%. This is just to provide an overview of qualitative and quantitative data for the food security over the past 5 years. The National Development Plan, they've touched it, so I won't dwell much. You know that we're looking at 1 million jobs, 2 million hectares in terms of strategically located land which can be utilized up to 2019. I won't dwell much here as well. It's been clearly outlined, even the 9-point plan. We know the RAVAC, we know the revitalization of agricultural irrigation schemes. So I want also the unlocking the potential of SMMEs, cooperatives, township and rural economy, enterprise potential. So that is the 9-point plan. So we also have in Limpopo what we call ADC, ADZ, which is agricultural development zones. And we have the 5 districts, which is Mopane, which will concentrate on mainly cash crops and fruit production. And we have Prisca development in Mopane to deal with that. And we have Mwanedi development in Bembe district, which is supporting mainly vegetable, mainly tomatoes in terms of vegetables. In Skukuna, we have lower and upper Lebele River, which is actually irrigation schemes along the Olifant River. And then in Waterberg, we have red meat zone, where we are going to develop animal production in terms of red meat production there. And then Capricorn, we concentrate mainly on potato belt. So it's potato production around Mole Mole, Blowback, and as well as Polokwane. We have also aquaculture projects which cut across the province, and now we are at the stage that where we are building and constructing a processing facility at Tompisleka for the very same projects. Poultry cluster, although we have a challenge of market in terms of Lwakom Abattoa, but we have structures that we have built in terms of the 40,000 capacity houses. So we focus provincially in terms of the white meat cluster, which is poultry houses. And this is just the commodities in terms of horticulture, field crops and livestock, and what does that mean in terms of distribution of red meat, dairy, white meat, as well as grain, oil and protein seeds, as well as nuts, citrus, and so on and so on. So like I indicated earlier, that's how they are distributed in the whole province. These are just highlights that despite the challenge that we faced last year in terms of the planting season, the drought, because of the energy that we put the previous year, we managed to go up to 51 1,840 hectares, which we put under production. If it was not because of drought, I think we would be doing 100 and something now. So we had to reduce our hectares and concentrate on the irrigation schemes. We also assisted 72 projects with irrigation water at the cost of about 87.8 million, which is an average of cost of 106,000 per hectare, I mean million per hectare. And this intervention has assisted farmers to access different markets, which is mainly a problem with agriculture, because all the farmers will come and need assistance, but without actually knowing where they're going to sell. But actually, in terms of this project, they're able to sell to McCain, that is Kopano Disabled Project in Marble Hall or Ephraim Mahale, and grass farmers around Mopane as well. They're selling with Pick and Pay, and also Vuawelo is doing the same in Waterbeck. We adopted development approach that focuses on the priority commodity of the province, ensuring that rural communities participate in the economy, and partnering with different funders over the years, e.g. Anglo Platinum at Matela Red Meat, Job Fund in Wanedi, and Department of Small Business at Wanedi as well. They are also assisting us. World Vision at Horses and Milling, Bakalawura Foundation, Waterbok Irrigation Project. This is how we partner with other funders to try and make sure that we complement the little resources that we have. And this is a very good move, especially in terms of Mwanedi, where we also access the job funds to assist us in making sure that we implement the project as the state president indicated during the State of the Nation address 2 years ago. So in terms of Mwanedi Agricultural Development, now called the Mwanedi Agricultural Agri-Park Development because of the Agri-Park concept, now we are unlocking market opportunities for more than 200 farmers there. And the development initiated has attracted about 58 million, like I indicated, for three years from Job Fund. And then 7.6 million from Department of Trade and Industry. This joint venture is actually making that project realize its dreams. And then when the incubation program has increased production from 80 tons to 60 tons, due to this intervention per hectare. And employment opportunity has increased from 3 to 9 permanent employees per farmer. And this Mwanedi project has already created more than 562 job opportunities during installation of irrigation system when the contractors are doing that, and 187 during the production. So the agri-park development approach is also assisting us, because now in terms of our agricultural development zone, we are able to focus and try to align every program that we are doing within agricultural hub, so that it's aligned to this agricultural agri-park concept. And as such, the primary production is being developed and increasing mainly to support these agri-parks. And of course, the ownership arrangement in terms of the processing facilities must also be taken into consideration, because it is on the upper side of the value chain, and it will be helping the production side of the farmers in terms of providing market access. These are the agri-parks that we have in Limpopo. Of course, all the five districts are participating. In Kefrugon is at Kapoopedi, where we are focusing on potato and also onion, in terms of the study that they did. And also in Skukuna, it's in Khorosdal. There we are focusing on poultry and grain. And in Mopane is in Tanin, where we're talking about subtropical fruit and vegetables. In Wembe, like I indicated, Mwanedi, also the avocado and vegetables are also considered in terms of the agri-park model. Waterbed livestock improvement or production, as well as, of course, it will focus on red meat as that area where we are doing animal handling facilities, fencing camps, dipping tanks, crush pens, you name them. So those, in terms of progress, you'll see that in terms of upward, we already, in terms of Capricorn, the potato production We already completed the religion and picking facility at a total cost of 7.8 million. And of course, 4.3 million spent from department, 3.5 from Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. So those kind of initiatives are actually helping us in terms of joining hands in assisting our farmers. In terms of APAP, we have planned activities that talks to our commodity approach in terms of our grain, vegetables, red meat, poultry, and also we have a little bit of table grapes, which we support the project at Rahlagane in Ephraim Mohale, and also have aquaculture where we support the aquaculture farmers across, but we're now focusing around the Dombisliga with that processing facility, and also at Hereford in Corbazal where we are developing four dams for aquaculture purposes. We also have a little kind of a dairy which we have also handed over last month at Muleji, which is also contributing to the rural economy in terms of developing the communities around Muleji area. This is just the spread of how investment is concentrating in terms of the commodities. And you can see in terms of your vegetables, you have about 68 million, like I indicated. Actually, this is just the breakdown of this. Maybe I can just quickly move to this slide, which talks about major commodities and progress. In terms of cash crops, we concentrate actually on high value crops which like tomato and baby vegetables. And two main areas like Mwanedi and Invembe and Mopani, I think in around Danin areas, those farmers are almost about 275. And in terms of extension, in terms of hectares, they have about 4,000 hectares of land, which we are aiming to improve infrastructure, also in terms of primary and secondary infrastructure, and also including the creation of coordinated production and market supply system through cluster approach. Just between 2014 and 2015, 80 farmers, all women, received irrigation infrastructure, and all have started with production, each creating about 9 to 12 jobs opportunities. And production has increased also from 30 to 60 tons, like I indicated. And the flow of water has also improved at Mopani Priska Canal because of the canal that we are doing in that area. So in terms of potato development, our target area, like I indicated, Capricorn, we actually here aiming in the three main local areas, Blobek, Molemole, and Polokwane. And then here we assisting 10 small producers to commercial level by 2018-19. And this, I think, has been emphasized by the DG to say he wants us in all the provinces, we must actually try to assist and move farmers from a particular level to commercial level. And 50 farmers, he told us that in each and every province, we must make sure that 50 farmers are moved from small scale to commercial. And that's the move that we are doing. And we are now profiling and making sure that we get those kind of farmers that are already have received something. And then we augment that and move them to a next level. So these are the projects that we are busy with, and some of them that are already actually at completion stage. The allocation, like it was indicated earlier, we have this allocation in terms of CASP, Ilimalejima, Lenke, and EPWP. And also we augmented it with an equitable share of 21 million. I think this has been presented previously, and this is how it was indicated in terms of our expenditure per first quarter. But if you look into how expenditure has moved currently, there's a lot of improvement that has changed since the first quarter. These are the kinds of jobs created in the first quarter, and I believe for now, because already towards the end of the second quarter, we really have been moved in terms of these job opportunities that we're creating. But our target is still 10,077, and we're sure that we'll reach this come the end of the financial year. Capacity building, 224 farmers trained. Although there's no expenditure, we try to elaborate here in terms of the invoices that came late, so they couldn't be captured for the first quarter. And but 224 farmers have been trained. Extension recovery program director Base Gali, we've talked about it. It has been presented. That's how we are training. In terms of Limpopo, we don't have any target of recruiting this year in terms of the extension officers. We are mainly maintaining those whom we have already recruited, and then we are using this money to pay their salaries as part of maintaining the extension recovery program. So we continue with the number that we already did. What we're concentrating on is reskilling them, making sure that they also access, they use the smart pens, which is the technology that is being utilized nowadays, your ESOs, and then we also improve their image through the conferences that are held through the districts, and actually we even have a provincial one every year. And we also improve visibility by making sure that our service centers are visible, are branded, and also the extension officers are also having the uniform that actually describe, and also the name text that actually identify them in advance. So like I indicated, in terms of the recruitment, we already recruited, we're maintaining this 121 officials, we're moving with them as part of recruitment. Colleges of Agriculture, the two colleges, Dombisliga and Mazimandela, they have already admitted students. Now they are on the second year students, and next year there will be a full complement of the college in terms of first year, second year, and third year. And now we are having 26 million in terms of the colleges. And we believe should be able to take us through and make sure that we are able to accommodate students. We are concentrating on accommodation, Chair, but the problem that we are facing is that because the colleges are mostly vocational, we also should be able to complement that with practicals. Otherwise, they will be out there knowing not how it would look like. So that's not what we want. This is Dombisliga. I just put some pictures just to take you through to say this is how the renovation is going. You can see in terms of the infrastructure is moving towards being renovated, and then you'll see how after they look like. So this is a compartment that takes about 8 students, and of course now we're having student accommodated in some of the rooms like this. But now we're having only 2 clusters that we are finalizing. That is cluster 2, we call it Mzana 2, and then cluster 4, which is also Mzana 4. But they are already actually almost at the completion stage as well. In terms of Madibandela College, this is still Dombisliga. In terms of Madibandela College, we are building what we call 45 cluster accommodation houses for students, which means one house will be taking about nine students. It's accommodating nine students. So if there are 5, it's about 45 students which will be accommodated in these clusters. They are already doing finishing up, but of course in the first quarter, you may find that they were not at this stage, but now they are busy doing finishing touches, and I think the target is that by end of November, this project will be done, and come next year, the students will occupy these buildings. They look very, very nice. You can just see them. These are the cluster Edmund Vandela. This is the generator which was talked about many times that it's not working, there's no backup generator, but we managed to get it and it's working properly. In terms of disaster, our disaster, Honorable Chair, is for 2014. It's mainly at the Waterberg, and we managed to complete the project, and we using the farmers to actually do the work themselves, and they managed to move. You can see 18 projects. They were allocated 9.6, and of course they were at 1 to 25% during the first quarter. But as I'm speaking now, we have 10 projects that are complete 100%, and they are within Waterberg. Mainly it was just the access roads, bridges, fencing material, fencing infrastructure which was actually affected by floods, and they've been renovated, those infrastructural projects. In terms of Fedatlala state of readiness for 2016-17, we have a standard operating procedure which is actually stipulating the tariffs that the farmers must use in terms of payments, and also the targets of how we are going to deal with the number of hectares per farmers, because that has been a challenge. You get one farmer who wants you to plant for and plant and plow and plant for him or her 200 hectares, while others are still looking for 2 hectares, 3 hectares, and you need to have a standard operating procedure to actually cap that. And we also have 72 tractors that we were lately given by our sister department, the DAF. Out of these 72 tractors, we only have 3 tractors that are still with Landini for repairs. So the 69 are well ready, and they are ready for the planting season. There are not enough, Honorable Chair. If you look at the spread of the province, you see that 72 tractors, and they are not enough. Normally, we complement them with private tractors to try and make sure that we cover the hectares that we have targeted. Fertilizers have been procured, about 37 tons, and seeds as well at 16.2, potato seeds, 3.1 already planted actually, and chemicals 160 liters have been procured, and delivery of production inputs also in progress to make sure that we are ready for this planting season. This is land care. Basically, we are rehabilitating for improved agricultural production, and then we are targeting hectares, 13,000 hectares. We already in the first quarter done more than our target, which was 2,000 hectares. And in terms of fencing construction, our target is 65 kilometers. We already at 10. A target at 10. We already at 5 at Komanani Land Care, but we believe the other 5 will be done, will be completed as well, because it's job on progress. In terms of green jobs, we targeted 4,000 for the current year, and we targeting 800 for the first quarter, and already done more than 800 jobs from 14 projects out of the 40 registered on the EPWP. The number of hectares cleared for alien invasive plants and weeds, we had a target of 2,000 for the whole year, and 200 has already been done, which was the target for the first quarter. In terms of drought status, Honorable Chair, we are always anticipating that it will continue. We have the presentation that the ARC has made. Fortunately, I think they've sent us, maybe we're having good relation with ARC. they told us about, they presented as well to our disaster management team, and they presented to the management, and then the forecast as was presented, we fully understand. In terms of the plan, we because Limpopo province received below normal rainfall during the previous summer, October, November, and December last year, so the situation did not improve. Actually, even if rain can come tomorrow, you won't have green grasses the following day. So we still have to continue with feeding the animals with fodder. So we are continuing. We also trying to also, we did drill the boreholes and also tried hard to make sure that we put the JoJo tanks on the truck to try and deliver the water to strategic areas in terms of our plans, because we realized that somewhere when we drill, there's nothing that we get. So we rather come up with alternative where we can actually draw water from river sources and deliver with the municipality, with the assistance of the municipalities. So you can see that the average dam levels is, they are already at 49.1% this September in Limpopo. So they are very, very low. And then the recorded mortality to date of animals, 31,000, over 31,000 animals that died. But we're providing 40 kg fodder bags to the farmers as per the arrangement in terms of the disaster framework. And the total number of 31 boreholes were recently drilled and equipped with windmills, and then you'll see those kind of pictures. This is just one lady. I won't concentrate on this as I already indicated. And then this is just how we are dealing with Nwanedi in terms of the plan, what we want to see in terms of when this project is completed. Potato belt development, this is in Capricorn as well. I talked about the 10 new smallholder potato farmers, and then also 5 new commercial potato farmers to be supported, and so those that are already existing. So these are the potato kind of development in terms of production and in terms of infrastructure that is needed for processing of this potato and washing of the potatoes. In terms of aquaculture, like I talked about, the processing facility that we are constructing is actually at 90% at Dompisliga to try and support the Petwane farmers, the Hereford farmers, and other farmers around the college to actually help market and process their fish there. So this is what we are doing, and also the hatchery at University of Limpopo, Teflop Hatchery, and then we make sure that we support those with red fingerlings there and support the farmers. So this is just like I was indicating. I had already this presentation as I indicated earlier in terms of the guidelines of weather forecast, how we should go on. So I won't go much. These are just current dam levels in the province. You can see all of them, they are hovering below 60, and others are even lower than 2.1%. In terms of last week, here is just last week as we take this statistics. So the shocking conditions of the drought, you'll see the animals, you can see and count the ribs and all the bones there because of the challenge of drought. So you can see that we are really facing a challenge. And this is just indicating how the conditions are in September in terms of the grazing conditions, and of course the grazing condition should supposed to be green there, but you'll never see any green area there. It's either yellowish or red, which means it's very difficult. So this, I talked about livestock mortality as at September, more than 31,000, and This is just for the distribution, the way we distribute it in the province. I won't bore you with that. This is the Jojo tanks that I talked about that we did to try and complement the fodder which we are giving to the animals, and then we supply them with this Jojo tanks at the strategic areas, mainly around the crush pens and the dipping tanks. That's where we put this Jojo tanks. So I think just take you through the pictures of what we do in terms of trying to keep this drought conditions. So this is the budget that we use for drought, and these are the crop for drinking troughs of animals that we did, and that's how we assist in terms of intervention of drought. The reservoir tent, the windmill.
Let me come in because okay. I see you are jumping the issue of fodders okay. distribution and. You say you don't want to bore us with that, but it's the one that has got the problem.
Okay.
It was reported yesterday that farmers had written letters to AFASA complaining about the way you've distributed it and so forth. If you can just explain to members how that process unfolded so that unfortunately, the AFASA is not here, but it will be in the interest of the honorable members to know.
No, thank you, honorable chair. In terms of fodder distributions, we have 71 depots in the province, all over the province. That's where we distribute fodder. And the disaster framework, which indicates how many bales we can give to a farmer with how many cattle. That's, I think, the approach that we are using. And yes, that formula, Chair, I won't have details of that formula, but in principle, we don't give equal. When you have two cattle, we can't give you equal to the one who is having 50. I'm just giving an example, but I don't have details in terms of the where do we end, whether it's 35 animals we give 8 bales, or but I can get that information for the house.
Because that was the problem, that how you distributed the folder. The sooner we get that information, or as per one, the person who has 10 cattle, how many folders? The formula.
No, I can get it, Honorable Chair.
Maybe
I'll get it.
Before we
finalize
there.
Yeah, no, I'll get it.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, here I was just showing what we did as well in terms of complementing the fodder. And I think that is the Honorable Chair and members.
Thank you very much, Limpopo, Gauteng. Honorable members, we can note the questions. We'll ask the questions after Mpumala. We take 33 provinces. In the meantime, Nawata, you must get those details. When we come to discuss, you must be ready to answer that question. How then now?
Mpumalang, Chair.
Oh, it's Mpumalang?
Yes.
Okay.
Gauteng is his last one.
No, but I'm checking. Why?
I don't know.
No, it's fine. Let's have Mpumalanga. And you must tell us where is your MEC and your committee, your chair, your portfolio committee chair. Mpumalanga, can you?
Mpumalanga not here.
tell us where is the political head and the chairperson of the portfolio committee, if you know. Before you start, you must start there.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, colleagues, good afternoon.
The Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee has sent the apology. This is the apology, is Honorable Dube.
Yes.
Due to family responsibility. And let's.
MEC.
If you are not the HOD, you must tell us where is the HOD.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I am the HOD. My name is Cindy Kul. The MEC also has a family commitment,
but we don't have that apology.
I understand it was sent, Honorable Chair.
To who?
I can't remember the name of the person that invited us.
Okay. During the work hours, so very interesting. And I'm just saying, yeah, okay. Is there anything holiday?
No, honorable chair.
Something light.
Can you ask? But you have slides, eh? Why don't we use our slides?
Okay, well, I think we'll
present. Copy? We have copies, honorable members, from Mpumalanga. We don't have. In the meantime, when they are still assisting you, just so sit down and proceed with the presentation.
Where is Mpumalanga?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. In terms of the presentation, I'm just going to focus on the issue in terms of the allocation and the expenditure for the conditional grant, and obviously giving an update in terms of our progress, the number of jobs that have been created and the farmers that we have supported. I think also most important is the kind of training interventions that we have conducted as a province, a program which is linked to Ilimalitsima. In the province, we actually use the word Masbuyele Masimini, and in terms of the other one, we call it Masbuyele Esbayeni. Then I'm also going to talk to the issue of the land care, the drought relief, and the other vet services that we have conducted. I think it's important, Chair, to indicate that in terms of our interventions, all our interventions are informed by the demographics of the province and especially the land size. As you would know, Mpumalanga is one of the rural provinces. And we have also created certain anchor projects which are coming from the equitable share. As I present, I'll also touch on those, even though I know this is a presentation for the grant, but I think it's important for me to just talk about issues of food security and how we are as a province adhering to that. If I move to the next slide, which is slide on page 4, about the purpose of the grant, I'm not going to talk to that, Honorable Chair. I think we are quite clear about the purpose and also the policy imperatives. In terms of the budget expenditure for the province, in terms of our allocation, we have 271 plus million that has been allocated to us, which is divided into the CASP, ILIMA, and the land care. And currently, in terms of the first quarter, we have spent 42.2 million out of the 51 for the first quarter tranche that was transferred to us. If you look at the total percentage spent, it would be 16 if you look at the overall expenditure. But for the first quarter, I must indicate that we do not have any challenges in terms of our expenditure. We have also been able to spread our investments per commodity, and have indicated that we have also included our equitable share. If you look at the graph that we have presented there, there's a lot of funds that we got from the department just to cushion the grant that we are receiving from National, which is one of our anchor projects, which is called the 1440 project. This is a project where, as a province, we have identified farms that belong to government that have been lying fallow for over the years. We are now resuscitating them and specifically focusing on youth. So we are putting groups of youth, forming them into groups, and then allocating that land to them, and we are assisting them. And some of the infrastructure that is taking place in those farms is also coming from the grant. That is why I'm picking up this particular project, so that it can be outlined to the Honourable Member. That's the slide where I am, Honorable Chair. If you look at that red on that slide, that's the amount that is coming from the equitable share, where we are assisting the youth that we have placed in the farms that belong to government to resuscitate the farms so that they are able to be brought into agriculture. As we know that if you look at the age of most of the people that are involved in agriculture, we need to ensure that youth are brought on board. We do utilize some of the funds that are coming from the grant to assist us, especially on issues around infrastructure. In terms of the next slide, we are saying that we have identified different commodities that we are looking at, which I've listed there, your fruit, your vegetable, your red meat, your poultry. There are a number of projects that we are implementing around the different commodities. And we have allocated money from CASP, and we have indicated the transfers that we have received from National to be able for us to utilize for CASP. I think one important area that I would want to just highlight around that slide is the issue of aquaculture. As we are an inland province, we are busy trying. It's our new project from our side. We have now introduced aquaculture, and we are busy with aquaculture, but we have also decided that all the projects that we are implementing on aquaculture in the province are going to be youth focused. In terms of the APEP commodities, my apology, I don't know what technology is doing. In terms of the APEP commodities, we are saying that we have also aligned all our projects as a province in line with this agricultural policy. Our alignment, if you look at it, we are looking at a number of projects that are focusing on vegetable, on fruits, on poultry, and also on livestock. In those different projects, we have identified the number of farmers, we've given the number of farmers that we are assisting there, the jobs that we have created, but also the budget that is allocated per commodity. We are also focusing on sugarcane. As you would know, the province is quite known for sugarcane. The one there actually means it's one area. It does not necessarily mean one farmer. It's one area that we have identified, which is around Gomazi. Within Gomazi, we have four schemes around sugarcane. We also have maize mills, and as I've indicated before, this is a new project that we are just starting as a department on aquaculture. We have plotted all the different projects according to the different regions of the province in the map that has been attached there. And if you look at infrastructure projects, we have quite a number of projects that focus on a number of areas. For example, we have 100 hectares of irrigation systems that we are busy with a budget of 24 million. And in terms of Kota 1, we have 75 hectare irrigation systems that have been initiated. This is around the areas of Bushbuck Ridge and Gomazi, which are one of those areas that have been identified as one of the nodal points that are quite very strong in terms of agriculture, but very poor at the same time. We have also put up the irrigation pumps in the areas that have been affected by floods. I think this question was raised by the honorable members before. We are saying that as we get the tranche from National, this is what we are doing to assist our people in those areas. We're also looking at the stock at the dams that we are refurbishing, the access roads, and also the boreholes. As we continue with infrastructure, we have also put up animal handling facilities in the different areas. There is progress there in terms of some of this progress. We've estimated that it should be completed by now. We also have dipping tanks that we are doing with the veterinary services of the department, poultry structures that we have also started with the construction that take about 2 by 25,000 chicks in each structure. They are at different stages in terms of completion. And then the last one, which is the one on aquaculture. We have attached pictures there on some of the projects that we are talking about. Then if I move to slide number 16, which still continues with infrastructure, we are also assisting our local farmers who are busy with the apple projects and revitalizing them around the area of Khersibande, which has the weather that suits this type of commodity. We also have hydroponic structures that we have also started, drifters, and also including the construction of fence, especially around where we have communal people that are farming around the area, we assist them, and processing and handling facilities that have been completed. We have also attached some of the structures for our hydroponics. Then in terms of the agri-parks, as a province, we have three agri-parks in the three regions, which is the Khanzeni region in Kangala and also in Khersimande. We have moved very far in the one which is in Kangala. In fact, it is at 90% in terms of completion. We have attached a picture of that in the next slides. We are busy with the other two, where we are busy with the site assessment. And we have also negotiated with the Department of Education that once these hubs are completed, we then can be able to supply them directly with the vegetables. We are busy in the planning stage. They've given us the different schools, the different areas, and the type of commodities that they are going to be requiring from our small-scale farmers that we are supporting through these projects. In terms of the jobs that have been created, we have categorized them in terms of the different commodities. We are saying, under the vegetables, those are the jobs that have been created, red meat, poultry, and sugarcane. I think in total, Honorable Chair, we can say in this quota, which is quota one, we have created 178 jobs in the different areas. And then we also have temporal or seasonal jobs that we have created, especially when we talk about the creation and the putting up of fences, about 117. And then in terms of the youth that are employed, is 24. But in the project of the Fortune 40 that I've spoken about, we have about 250 youth that we have also created jobs for. We have also been supporting farmers in the different areas. Those are the statistics of the different farmers that we are supporting, also in the different commodities, your vegetables, your meat, your poultry, and the rest. In terms of farmer training, we are doing farmer training. For the first quarter, we have been able to train farmers, and also in terms of mentorship, we do have farmers that are being mentored by some of our mentors. We have 337 farmers that have been mentored and 2,404 farmers that have been trained. This kind of training is different. It depends on the commodity of those particular farmers. We have given a list of the different training that has been offered to the farmers. I think one other important thing is the issue of governance, which is cooperative governance. We are training our farmers so that they are able to run their farms into businesses, so that they can be able to exit and not remain as small scale farmers. On commodity based mentorship, we have appointed mentors who are experts in the different fields, and they are assisting our farmers on vegetable, on citrus, on livestock, subtropical foods. We have a list of those agents that we have appointed that are shadowing our farmers through mentorship program. And within this mentorship program, what we do, we put in a requirement to say that when you mentor them from the beginning and the whole value chain, so that at the end they are able to also process the produce that they are producing. But what is important is that we also assist them to look for offtake agreements, so that when they've planted their vegetables, they know exactly where they are supposed to sell. If it's poultry that they are farming with, we also assist them to have an offtake agreement so that they know exactly where they are going to be selling their produce. On issues around extension recovery plan, which is ERP, just in summary, Chair, I just want to indicate that we have an amount of about 27 million. We are busy with finalizing the recruitment. I know that this is one issue that was raised by the honorable members. We are at the stage where we are finalizing the recruitment of the extension officers and appointing them on a 3-year contract. The budget for ERP, we have a budget, as I've indicated, of 27.4 million. For the first quarter, it's 3.6. I am aware that we have not spent much on this budget, but most of it also goes to issues of employment. And once we have finished the appointments, obviously there would be quite a substantive move on this recruitment and retention of the ERP members. We are also indicating that as a province, we have a total of 175 agric advisors, of which 27 are paid through the ERP, and 19 municipal managers. We call them municipal managers. These are the people that are assisting us in terms of being placed within the different farms that we are supporting. But some of them are also assisting us in the youth program, where we have included the youth in the farms of government that were not utilized before. We are also focusing on the reskilling and reorientation, where we are saying 79 officials have also been trained on soil sampling, which is very important so that as we plant, we also know the type of soil that we have. This is a program that we are really started to strengthen this year by ensuring that we also upgrade one of our research centers, which is Notre Dame. So this kind of soil sampling and all those things are being done in our research center. We do partner with ARC before, because we didn't have our own equipment and research center, but we have now renovated the research center and we have started putting up equipment. And the first phase of the research center was this issue of the salt testing, so that as we provide production inputs, they are informed accordingly and in the correct format. On the issue of the land care program, we are looking at conservation agriculture, and we have utilized all the funds that have been allocated to us. We have listed the different projects that we are supporting under land care. We are supporting mostly projects that fall within communal land, where we are looking at field improvement and wetland rehabilitation. We have listed the different areas where we have been assisting. We have workers that are on site. We also have the farmers that we are assisting to teach them how to ensure that they improve their communal land for grazing. We are also looking at soil and field protection, and also on farm experimental trial, where we are looking at the maintenance and conservation of agriculture. We do have the research trials that are being held there in the farm through the assistance of our agricultural research center in North Gedda. Slide number 33, as we continue with the land care projects, Honorable Chair, I need to indicate that all these land care projects are in various areas within the province, so you'll find them in different in the different wards. We are also looking at awareness and capacity building and the promotion and conservation of agricultural techniques in the whole province. As we move on to issues around disaster management programs, yes, the province has been badly affected in terms of drought, and we have put up a response working very closely with the Department of COCTA. National gave us an allowance to actually reprioritize our funds from CASP, and we allocated around 33 million, which accounted for 10% of the CASP budget. And we then, from the equitable share, we allocated about 7 million. This money was allocated to assist in terms of providing relief to farmers, especially in the areas that were critically affected by drought. But I also need to indicate that although we have allocated this budget, it was not enough, but at least we were able to attend to some of the farmers here. We also want to indicate that the department also allocated about 10 million in the last financial year to repair and replace water pump stations. As you would know, the province also has a challenge in terms of water. Therefore, we are assisting our farmers in terms of repairing some of the water pumps in the dams. We also have spent about 6 million to date on the allocation of this, and the job is about 90% complete. We have attached the different districts in terms of drought management, which is Ehlanzeni, Gert, and Kangala. Those are the three districts of the province. We've indicated the number of farmers that we have assisted, in total 10,672, and we have actually indicated what kind of interventions we have been giving to the farmers and the budget breakdown, where we have been buying the drought meals, the drought pellets, lucerne, turf grass, water tankers, and the rest, which was distributed to the farmers. We did the inventory together with the Department of COCTA, where we went and visited farmers. We allowed them to register, and we then did the assessment, the fully-fledged assessment. We do have the information on the drought engagement and drought relief for the province. We do have that document. We have just attached some few pictures here of the kind of relief that was given to the farmers, but of course, not all of them. It depended on the stage as we did the assessment going into the farm for you to be able to qualify for this. We also experienced the floods as a province, and we have been able to replace the diesel water pumps and the water pumps with electric panels. We've indicated the numbers there and the expenditure. We have been repairing the water pump stations and the electric panels, and also equipping the boreholes in the different tribal authorities. We have attached pictures to that shows what were the pumps that were repaired so that we can assist our farmers in the different areas. Now, coming to the issue of food security, where we actually refer to it in the province as Masbuyele Emasimini Food Production Program. In this particular program, we are looking at subsistence and smallholder farmers, and also semi-commercial farmers. And then we do have commercial farmers that are linked to the markets, those that have the revenue of more than 1 million. We are indicating that as part of this program for Masbuyele Masimini within the CASP grant, Ilima Litsima grant, we have been able to supply our farmers with your seeds, fertilizers, agrochemicals, you know, your technical agricultural advisory services, boreholes, deep irrigation and fencing. Those are the different services that we have been offering, including mechanization services, and also the job creation in terms of appointment of drivers. We have a plan that we put in place for the planting season. We call it the Masbuyele Emasimini Implementation Plan. This is the plan that we are using as a department for the planting season in the different districts of the province, Ehlanzeni North, Ehlanzeni South. We have divided Ehlanzeni into two because Bushbuck Ridge is quite big, and Gersebande and Nkangala. We have done our annual targets as listed there, and the targeted hectares that we are going to be plowing, and the number of households that we are also going to benefit from the production inputs. We are also engaging on food gardens, which we call starter packs. We also have a plan for that, and the different commodities and the seeds, fertilizers and things like that that we'll be distributing. There is a table that is attached there. This is our implementation plan for the planting season as a province. We also have a mechanization plan which lists the different tractors that are available per region and per area. We do have the list of farms that will be assisting. We are indicating those that still need repairs, those that have been repaired. As you would see, Honorable Chair, the numbers are not that big, but what we usually do, we also try and use our commercial farmers who have partnered with the department. They also assist us in terms of our small-scale farmers on assisting us in terms of planting. The program for Emasbuyele Esibayeni, where we talk about the distribution of the Nguni Kegel project, we are saying that we also supply the different animals, the bull and heifer project, which is comprised of the non-Nguni Kegel. We also give it to farmers. We have a process, an open process, where they apply to the department, we do an assessment, and then we deliver those different packages to them. And we work very closely with our vet section to assist us in terms of giving us information and direction, and also assisting those farmers that are going to be given the cattle through the program of Masbuyele Esibayeni. We have provided the statistics in terms of how this particular program is assisting in terms of food security and in terms of job creation. We have attached the allocation for this financial year. In terms of our allocation, we're looking at the cattle production sets that we are giving out to people, the goat production sets, the sheep, the pigs, and also the assessments of the different farms, so that we are in a position to say that when we give these sets to those farmers, they are in a state where they would be able to look after the animals very well. In terms of the vet services, we are indicating that we have mobile clinics that we are utilizing in the province, including the three trucks that are hospitals that we are assisting us. I do need to indicate that I think about 3 weeks back we had an outbreak of rabies, and these are the vet mobile clinics that are assisting us to be able to go to the communities. We are utilizing also the officials that were given to the department by National to come and do their internship. In the province. They are really assisting us a lot to be able to reach the different areas of the province. We've listed the mobile units and how they are distributed according to the different areas and the number of vet doctors and who are actually allocated in those areas. I think I've already spoken to the CCS vet doctors that are with us. We also have the vet graduates who are under compulsory community service. We have attached their names here and where they are being placed in the province. I think in general, Chair, I really tried to summarize, but most importantly, I just want to indicate that we are trying to meet issues of food security as a province, and those are the programs that we are involved in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mpumalanga. Okay.
lot of flights. It's in Mpumalanga, that must help you. Northwest, sorry. So they are saying your flights are like taxis. So you...
Yeah, they can go home quick.
So we need it all on flight.
Northwest, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, you know it's difficult for them because they have to fly to Gauteng first. And then some have to drive to Northwest or other.
The chair of Northwest
and one
of
those
yes,
airports,
but
they close
been called back to the province
because
there is
only one.
Sorry, he has been here with us from yesterday. So they told you to tell us where the embassy is. Why there is no apology for the embassy.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable MECs and colleagues in the House here. Just before I start with my presentation, Honorable Chair, I just want to disclose that my MEC has been on an international mission with the Premier from last week, and they only arrived this week. So I want to then put it across that maybe it was out of those reasons that she was not able, but I would expect her office to have really contacted the Secretariat in rendering the apology. So in as far as I understand, that would be the reason, Chair, why she is not part of this session today. So Honorable Chair, I'm going to be presenting the taking the presentation for the Northwest Province, and judging from previous presentation, I think the outline and the sense of purpose of this particular presentation really falls within what we have already seen here. So I'm not going to get much time into really outlining the purpose and even the outline of this particular presentation. But Chair, moving on to the next slide, this is just to just reiterate that Northwest, just like Mpumalanga and even many other provinces, your Free State, we are a rural province, and we are still facing a lot of the triple challenges in terms of unemployment, poverty, inequalities, and we divided into four districts, and each of these districts is linked to a particular agri-park in terms of its agricultural commodity strength. And one of the slides in this would also show you that we are creating a very strategic link with the SADC area, hence we sometimes also refer ourselves as the gateway to Africa, which is really a prospect for the markets and access to the rest of Africa. So that's what the slide would mean. Next one, Chair, this is just to show that we have talked about drought this morning. And predominantly Northwest is a low rainfall area. If you move to the west, you are stuck with about 300 millimeter of rain per annum, and as you move central, it starts to increase, moving into 400s, and in the east, it would then range between 500 and 600 millimeter of rain per year. So that's just give the level of drought vulnerability, and even limitation in terms of productivity of certain agricultural practices in certain areas. Chair, the province is very much aligned strategically with what is happening at national level, because at times we get asked questions whether what provinces are doing really creates a good link with that which is happening at the national level. So we have our programs and our policy imperatives and strategies that are in place within the province, but they are very much linked and aligned with your national development plan, your SIP project that we are conducting, your outcomes 4, 7, and 10, even your RABAC program, your 9-point plan. What is pronounced as SONA also gets cascaded into what gets pronounced as SOPA. And as Northwest Province, we have aligned our provincial strategy in terms of the 5 concrete. And you would realize that in amongst one of those concrete is to really prioritize agriculture, followed by culture and tourism in terms of how we can, you know, creating them as a key economic sectors. And there are other 5 or 4 concretes that we are implementing. We also give emphasis to the rural areas in terms of your villages, your townships, your small door piece economy, and we really package all that together into some service delivery program that we call Sitsokotsane, where we are more outside in the field and not really in the offices, and we encourage partnerships. And the slide also depicts some of the strategies that are developed at the level of the province. We have the Agricultural Master Plan, which we developed as early as 2012, which we have used to package what we call the Comprehensive African Agricultural Development Investment Plan in 2015. We also have our agro-processing strategy that was developed in 2010, and even the irrigation strategy, which we have just packaged together in this recent year. The next slide then summarizes just the provincial policy imperatives. I'll move on then to the next slide, which is just to depict some of the allocation. This is just a historic slide to say, look, we're around the equitable shared accounts, ILIMA, land care, and even other you know, programs like your EPWP, we have a total of about 300 million that was allocated, and we managed to spend about, for the total year, 292, giving you just a historic performance of 95%, and where CASP, the entire budget was utilized. And moving on to the next slide, in terms of the provincial, the program allocation for 2016-17, for the 5 programs, we have a total of about 287 million, and what was transferred into our coffers was around 33 million. We've been able to utilize 19 of that, which gives us an expenditure of about 60% on the dispersed funds and not necessarily on the entire annual allocation. Chair, we've also aligned our agricultural commodity projects with APEP, and as you can see, the slides here denotes that we are implementing for the current year 109 projects, which are funded either by equitable share, either by CASP, ILIMA, and the total budget thereof is about 186 million. A separate or sectional allocation for each program is shown, but also progress to each commodity to say where is it, particularly in terms of relatively on quarter one, where some of the things could still be at procurement stage, some could be at the design planning stage, but this is just to note the general progress amongst those communities that we are talking about. This is summarized in the form of a pie chart, which I'm not going to waste any time and move on to the next slide about the irrigation scheme. In as far as our province is concerned, Chair, we have allocated an amount of 13.7 million to implement the about 5-6 irrigation schemes in the province. Now that we have compiled our provincial irrigation scheme. So the slide would then show you the individual hectareage that we are covering, but to a total of about 3,664 hectares we are covering. And this is just a small fraction of expenditure that we have encountered in the first quarter, and we are hoping that because this was mainly more on the maintenance and also on the replacement, we would have gone through the procurement stage in the first quarter, and we will start to pick up some expenditure in the second quarter. And progress will also be achieved further in terms of the procurement of the production inputs and infrastructure to register that planned expenditure. On the jobs that we are targeting for this particular year, we given the 3 programs, CASP, ILIMA, and EPWP, We have an annual target of around 1,463 for CASP, and thus far we have created 152 in quarter one in Lima. We have a targeted annual plan for 888, and thus far we have created about 141. And for the broader EPWP, we are targeting 1,100, and thus far we've been able to recruit and appoint in the first quarter about 871 EPWPs. On farmer training and capacity building, which is the work that we are doing through our accredited farmer training center that is known as CORA, we are also establishing a new satellite training center in Moretele, which is there to assist farmer in terms of capacity building, training, and so on through modulation of different courses. Chair, the slides would then say that for this current year, we have budgeted an amount of 10.3 million. We are targeting about 1,210 farmers, and primarily the programs that we want to implement, one is farmer training, and this shows you all the different trainings that we want to undertake in terms of arable farming, animal husbandry, the agricultural management, and even technical excursion. We just want to report that in quarter one, we did train, start with some training, but in quarter two, we have picked up, we have trained around 221 farmers in quarter two already. And we'll be undertaking those excursions in November, particularly for Limpopo, in Limpopo and Gauteng province. And just the farmer training is for 9.6 million. The mentorship is just planned, two that is planned for beef, which will be taking place in quarter two, and also the broiler one, which will be commencing for in quarter three. And thus far, we have not yet registered, although we have done quite a lot of substantive planning to really get the training going on. Chair, the extension and recovery plan, we just talking to the number of extension officers, we have about 178. And we have currently signed an SLA with Agricultural Research Council, where we are going to be attaching about 80 extension officers to be trained on what we call the Extension Big Five. And we have budgeted about 1.7 million. And the program would then be rolling out in quarter three. And we have also we will also be attaching about 10 officials then to. Oh. sorry, Honourable Chair, for not keeping pace with my slides and my. We have also, Chair, we will be attaching 10 officers to the South African Pork Producers Organisation, also for that particular on-job training. We are currently, for quarter one and two, we have advertised, we have started with interviews, and in the quarter three, we will hopefully then be appointing 37 extension officers just to beef up the 171. And in the province, we have established what we call the Youth Entrepreneurial Services under the Office of the Premier, which create a database for unemployed youth, particularly in agriculture, and we are using that particular database also to look at how we can set some priority areas for our youth in terms of creating formal employment, or even in terms of even, you know, allocation land for agricultural purpose. Further on extension and recovery plan, we given the pillars, the five pillars that we have, our total allocation is 26.7 million. And the slide would then demonstrate the different activities that we are involved in, given those different pillars, the maintenance of 22 vehicles, you know, the SAI conference, and even some of the provincial extension conference that we are planning for this current year, the recognition in terms of the SACNAP registration for external, for the extension officer, in terms of, you know, improving their professionalism, and the fact that we also, you know, empower them in terms of the tools of trade. We have a smart pen that is being used, and we are also part of those provinces that will be acquiring AIMS, and they are also using the decision-making tool that we call the Extension Suite Online. That is some of the key activities or achievements that we have achieved on that. The work that we do on our agricultural college for Potchefstroom that primarily renders the mixed farming training. We have an allocation within the CARS funding of about six million, and we have about four projects that we are undertaking this year, and such as your workshop, roof repairs, your biogas plant, the HIMARS light for security, and also the poultry abattoir for student training and so on. On the right-hand side of the table, we are just showing the stages in terms of development that although the expenditure may well be low, but we have done quite a lot of work in terms of quarter one, in terms of developing specifications, bill of quantities, designing the plans and so on, and we have started to contract in the second quarter. So we are hoping then the amount and the expenditure then would start moving as we move then into the third quarter for those four projects. For the Taung Agricultural College, which we have created as a center geared towards excellence in irrigation agriculture, we have about five projects and with a total allocation of 7.3 million. And we have also not started really to spend a lot of money, but this is the groundwork that we have done for quarter one. And in quarter two, surely we are going to be registering an expenditure in that regard. Chair, on the disaster and risk management, just recapping from the 2015-16, from the reprioritized funds of 25 million, we were able to spend about 97% of that amount, around 24 million, and the output deliverables on that was that we were able to produce about 4,000, to deliver about 4,000 tons to about 20,000 farmers across the four districts of the province, starting with those areas where it was the hardest hit in your west and moving towards the east, where the impact was not that much. There was also a lot of work done on the drilling, on the siting, drilling and equipping of about 29 boreholes across the three districts. And just maybe talking to the distribution of fodder, we had approved a pool of service providers that we utilized, and we went on to, right from the starting of the, I mean, just from the time when the disaster occurred, I mean, the farmers reported the disaster in terms of filling the applicable forms within a specific deadline. Officials went on to do some assessment in terms of, you know, verifying what was being stated in the forms. Those forms were then accrued and also assessed, and to a point where we were able then to create a database that would say, we have so many farmers that are placed in this district, in these localities, and what is their stock number, and so on. So, Chair, it may well be difficult to, you know, take 25 million and hope to really assist everyone who's been stricken by drought. But in our case, in the case of our province, we said the hardest hit will be, you know, those poverty traps where you would have, you know, farmers or subsistence farmers, and even some of the smaller farmers, one up to 30 livestock units. That's where we paid much concentration. But other than that, we also had a drought dialogue already in 2015 that was hosted by the Premier to engage with different stakeholders. And out of that, I think a similar language and recommendation is also being created to say, the commercial farmers would say, look, we need to be assisted differently. We need guarantees, we need to be assisted in crop insurance, we need to be assisted in credit facilities from time to time and so on. And I believe as a province we have moved then to really start implementing some of those. We have started now with, you know, looking at some possibility of a credit fund for the drought-stricken farmers. We have already gazetted a bill which would then go to legislature. And we are hoping at the end of the financial year, we would have moved to a point where we could, you know, start operating that credit fund for the farmers, particularly those that have been stricken by drought. And beside the drought dialogue, we've been able also to purchase, you know, a tankering truck. It takes about 12,000 liters in terms of capacity, and we have been able to deliver close to about 600,000 liters to the distressed livestock farmers. We have set a target of 250,000 liters per quarter, and we are hoping at least with this financial year we would have reached 1 million liters. So for this 2016-17, we have done several things. One was then to further declare that yes, we are still, given the observation, we are still really stricken by the drought, and we have also revised our request to National Treasury in terms of indicating that there's an additional of 130 million funding that would be required. We are also, in terms of, in line with our annual performance plan, targeting about 24 risk reduction programs per quarter, so that we can, you know, impart messages that will become about the weather forecast, about whether we are still continuing with drought or not. I think there was an earlier question to say, how are we then communicating that message? We would then do it through SMS, or we have been also on the radio, print media, and also the radio slot. We've been having that to spread the message. The draft bill, I've talked to it already, but broadly, because drought is part of climate change, and as a province, and we've been able to develop our climate change response and even mitigation strategy, but which then has to be considered by different sector department to say how does the mining fitting in. But in terms of agriculture, we will come back to the point where we have to then, you know, talk about the implementation of the climate smart agriculture, and we have to also then comprehensively get into development of some business plan that we can use to really obtain funding from green funding. This is where the state of development is. And I've already talked to now the tankering and water development, I mean delivery of water. Chair, about our land care program, we are implementing about 5 projects, which are, described in this slide according to your name and the objective, what they want to achieve, the number of jobs and the beneficiaries that are covered, 442. We are hoping to create jobs of about around 157, and 7.6 million was allocated for 2016-17. Progress on Kotak 1 will mainly demonstrate that, because these are labor-intensive projects. We have started to recruit people. These are the workers that have been recruited across the different projects. And we have started now to procure, you know, the chemicals and so on, and every input that we will use in terms of this particular project, such that in quarter two there will be quite a significant expenditure in terms of the land care program. The land care program also has got some performance outputs, and this next slide then will just show you some of the annual targets that we are planning as a province for, in terms of beneficiaries, numbers, in terms of junior land care, in terms of awareness, in terms of capacity building and partnership, and also in terms of conservation agriculture. And on the right-hand side, we have started to register progress on the first quarter, but I believe in the second quarter we will be able to move quickly to then incur some expenditure as well as impact on the ground. On agricultural food security initiative, an earlier question was asked whether we have 000, are we having a food security initiative in the province or not? But the point to be made is that we, as a province, we have allocated about 7.5 million. And on the right hand side, on the comments and so on, it just shows you that we have about 35 projects to benefit about 1,295 households. But I think the question about reporting on grants vis-a-vis reporting on equitable share could be, you know, the explanation for this. But it doesn't mean there's no work on the ground that we are doing. As we move along, I will also demonstrate. This is just a historic on the Fetsa Tlala for last year. And then moving on to Fetsa Tlala for 16-17, we have a budget of about 59 million that is targeting about 7,205 hectares. And this also demonstrates the difference commodities in terms of maize, sunflower, soya beans, and vegetables that's going to be planted, and according to the different districts. On our mechanization, it's one slide that I didn't put there. That's it. But on the peg, it may not be there. Chair, we want to just register that we have a mechanization policy that was developed since 2013 in order to bring in cost effectiveness and production efficiency into crop farming. Mainly that benefit is targeted at smallholder farmers and your local municipality, your legal entities like your CCs, your commodity groups, and even land reform beneficiaries. The way how we've been implementing it is that we have a package composition that is determined on the basis of suitability that is linked to your soil types, your rainfall data, your engine capacity and size. And the ownership model on this particular policy is that mainly what we have been implementing is the user agreement whereby a farmer would use the asset remains under the custody of the department. The farmer uses that for a period of 3 years, and when you would have been trial and tested to say the farmer really can use this the asset productively, we then transfer. So this is about 80% of how we've been implementing it in the province. But there are also prospects for direct transfer to municipality and even traditional authorities. There's also a provision for contracting, and there's also even a provision for subsidization on a percentage that can be determined to as and when you implement your triple P's or even to individual farmers. Just to sum up, the number of packages that we have in the province currently is around 150. And it also further shows the distribution across different districts, 24 in Bojanala, 112 in Ngakamudiri, 7 in Dr. Ruth, and 3 in Dr. Kenneth Kaunda. And Chair, just to depict the state of readiness on your Fetsa Tlala crop program, we have started with several activities. This slide shows you the different activities, 1 up to 12, in terms of the gun chart. And we have already started to implement number 1 up to 6, where we have been able to hold stakeholder engagement. We have identified the land, the beneficiaries. We have done the crop production plan. We have determined what the budget is. We have looked at mapping the soils and sampling and classifying that, done the procurement plan and identifying the sources, the service providers and so on. What we are getting in now is in the supply mode, where we will be now in terms of quarter three then getting the supply and delivery of inputs, and we are hoping then as we move on into October we'll be into quarter three we'll be doing the land preparation, which would make us ready then for planting, and we would continue with other activities such as your crop spraying, your yield estimate determination, and we are hoping then to harvest around May, June next year. And already the storage and the marketing is there, because we are into partnership with NWPK for the marketing and the storage, as our silos are operational at Springbok Park. Chair, just the last one, which is probably just on the agri parks. We have 4 agri parks in the Northwest Province, and the first one is the Springbok Park Agri Park, which is mainly a grain agri park. And on the primary production, we have budgeted about 17 million. And when we move on to the secondary production, we have also made provision of 17 million for the silos, as well as 2 million for the construction of the milling plant. The progress that has been made in terms of the silos is that they are operational. And in terms of the milling plant, the X-works, the excavation are on and work is in progress. And coming to the milling plant, we have started with that excavation. That will be now for the first 22 farmers contracting and 26 farmers with production inputs would be linked to that agri park. The second one, which is on Makapanstad, which is mainly your red meat, is a jewel, your red meat and also horticulture. On the primary production, we have programs, projects on vegetables, on red meat, on fruit, on red meat and vegetables that would support the production around that particular agri-park, and the allocation in terms of the funding, 10.8 million has been demonstrated there. And moving on to the to the value adding or the secondary activities, we have two processing plants, one which is a Buam Makabe vegetable processing facility budgeted for 1.6 million, and the Tlabologang Bahadiwal also budgeted for about 16 million there. So these are some of the activities that are continuing at that agri-park. The Freiburg, which is the livestock and also the game, also jewel, we have budgeted about 1.5 million for the development of the for the livestock auction sales pen, activities around Taung and also in Driefontein. And when you look at the production areas, we have also made provision for fodder production as well as for red meat production in those areas, coming with a budget of around 18.2 million. With Makwasi Hills, which is pork poultry agri-park, on the primary production side, we do have one some broiler unit layers and even four piggeries that we are developing with their estimated budget. And on the secondary side, we do have an abattoir for 4 million, which is we have budgeted such that it could also strengthen that particular agri-park. Share this just on for 3 minutes. These are just some of the, I may have not talked on them on the slide, but these are the aquaculture activities that we are doing on the farm. I mean, in the province, the Saneng fishery, we are establishing that as a aquaculture and fishery hub in the province. You move on. These are the work of the colleges. Our output for Potchefstroom College, we are roughly sitting around 50 students per annum. And with Taung, we have started now to produce roughly around six students. The first graduate came to being this particular financial year. We are also operating some of the farmers market in each one in each district. This is when once every 2 weeks in several areas across the province, where the smallholder farmers will bring in their produce to a central point and you know, for direct marketing of their product without the middlemen, and this is what we've been doing. That's why we have established about three in Mafikeng, in Taung, and also in Mokwase. The agricultural show is also one of our key activities that we are doing, rendering in the province. I may have not talked to it on the slide, but this is an avenue for smallholder farmers to come. We do it annually. We started last year. We have budgeted about 6 million, but this is an activity too that brings in smallholder farmer to come and exhibit their project. But we have also started to work with some other big partners such that it could also, you know, be part of this particular agricultural show. And now it has been now turning to be what we call the investment show, and so on. So it's growing from strength to strength. On livestock, some of the activities, like I've spoken about the Driefontein auction sales pen, this is also one of its kind in the rural. Driefontein would be some 300 kilos away from Freiburg. It's in, you can see the sandy soils there. You can see our smallholder farmers with small stock, large stock. We have already rendered about five auction sales pens there, and this is also again an opportunity that would, you know, keep, you know, the speculators from moving around in villages, taking stock from our farmers just for free without really considering squeezing the price, if one may say that. So this is one that we have started in Driefontein. We'll be moving on to Taung. We have an existing structure that we want to just revive for our extension conference. We are doing it, usually also accompanied with the outreach. As you can see, that bottom right slide, it's a mini tunnel that is being put in for food security, and it happens randomly as and when the delegates are part of the conference, so we see how we then do it usually. Kora Farmer training activities, these are the the vegetable gardens, the poultry units, the mechanization that is there, the training officers that are there to empower farmers. The Nguni cattle, we came a long way with it. These are just some of the demonstration. I would not have statistics about how many beneficiaries and so on, but surely if there's any province where this, it may not be the only one. If there's any province where this program has been running well, it's we are doing it in partnership with Northwest University, and it's moving from strides to strides in Nguni cattle production. Our extension officers with the Sasai conference, those are some of the things. The Springbok silos, as you can see there, right from the big harvester on the fields, moving on to the silos where there's automation that is being operated. Where you look at the 100,000 tons capacity of those silos, the mechanization support that is here, and even the political will that is there to get us on our toes in terms of that agri-park. Simuyakosi, that is also one of our livestock program, where we have particularly focused on traditional leaders, and we have designed special packages for them, because in the true sense, in the olden days, the horse used to be those that would have something to feed to their the communities, and we are saying those should be now the basis for them to really bring economic activities around their communities. As you can see, those are some of the horses. We have already covered around 21 horses in our province, utilized, I think, 9 if not 10 million in the previous financial year, and we are continuing with another 5 or 6 of utilizing this particular program. Some would opt for crop, some would opt, but mainly they opt for cattle or livestock or and so on. The agribusiness, those are some of the infrastructures that we are doing. I want the milling plants, the silos, and your...
Chair, this photo session is taking too long.
Yeah, that's... yeah, those are... Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, even the presenter was getting tired. That is not finished. thank you very much, Northwest. With the prerogative vested on me, I'm deciding to take... the last two provinces, so that the discussion could encompass all the provinces that are here. let's get Gauteng. no, it's Free State. Never talk. Okay. But honorable members, that still can take the tea and sit down. We're not going to adjourn for this. What is that there, Mother Saint? It was very cold recently. What happened? So I've complained, they switch it off.
No, it was cold, man. No, it was cold.
I've complained. It was very cold.
Why is it too cold?
So
it was too cold.
I'm sorry. Let's get Free State.
Water bottle. Are you leaving it there?
Honorable members, have received the apology from HOT and the MEC from Free State. They are abroad in Russia, so they are not here. The sent representative, they will explain who they are and are they having mandate to answer all the questions, so that we don't waste our time listening to you when you cannot respond to our questions.
Chair, just inform your technicians, it must not be too cold. It must not be too cold, because it is not about one person. We are getting cold and we are getting sick.
I don't know if we can be controlling this.
Let's reduce the temperature so that it becomes low, not hot, not cold. Okay. Please stay. Are you ready?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for accepting our apology. My name is Muso Tometi. I'm the DDG in the department. Yes, Chair, I will form part of this discussion and answer questions as and when they are directed to us. Chair, let me take this opportunity and deal with issues that emanated from presentation and issues that were raised by yourself and confirm certain things coming from the province. The first one is to confirm, Chair, that we have a very sound working relationship with organized unions. We meet with them regularly. We even provide them an opportunity to meet with cabinet. They've met with the premier, and on a quarterly basis, they are meeting with the MEC. We have recently concluded the development of the Free State Master Plan, where they were signatories and participants of the master plan of the province, and we are in the process of finalizing the implementation strategy together with them. But Chair, as you will appreciate that we are not supporting unions, but we are supporting members of unions. And in doing so, we are supporting them through service delivery systems that we have in place, and we are also guided by our standard operating procedures. So as and when we are to deliver a service, we will then advertise, and we expect that all the targeted members, being it commercial, smallholder, or subsistent, will then respond to the advert, so that we are then able to assess, evaluate, shortlist, and then provide the interventions. Secondly, we confirm that yes, we do have a very good working relationship with ARC, and one of our programs is to, through our research component, is to analyze the information as generated by bodies like the ARC and make it user-friendly for our farmers, and then provide it to farmers through our activities that we'll be having with them through open days or through our extension officers. Having said that, Chair, I also want to confirm that the presentation is aligned to the national plan, it's aligned to the medium-term strategic framework, and it's aligned to priorities of government, and is integrated with the national department activities and programs. As a province, we have five districts, and those five districts, they each have their unique competitive advantage, which will then utilize in order to respond to what needs to be happening in the sector and in the province. Chair, as I've indicated, we've got five districts, and in our district of Harib, our focus is livestock, mainly dealing with, we also begin the process of promoting game farming. We deal with irrigation. It is our district where we are focusing on inland fishing, aquaculture promotion, and yes, it also has its own agri-park. The metro, we are focusing on red meat production and agro-processing, and an agri-park has been identified in Tabanchu, the historical homeland area that we have incorporated into the metro. Lejwe Liputsa, it's our poultry hub. It also remains our grain hub. It also have an agri-park, and as part of the national strategy of the biofuel, bioethanol, we are also dealing with production to contribute through Mabele projects that we have identified there. And in our Thabomofutsanyane, we are dealing with dairy, poultry, fruit and grain, and they also have an agri-park. Fezile Dabi, we're dealing with grain and poultry and vegetables, and we've also identified an agri-park there. So let me take the committee through our work for the financial year 2015-16 in terms of the money that was allocated to the province, and indicate that for fruit and vegetables, we had four projects, and these four projects were able to have an impact of 20 permanent jobs and 43 temporary jobs, benefiting directly 61 farmers as beneficiaries, and the beneficiaries, it's the categories will then be 34 females, 27 males, and 19 youth. I need to put it up front to the committee that in most of our projects, we still have a critical challenge of identifying disabled members of the disabled community to then be able to provide interventions and projects that are targeting them. These are just indications of the projects we have. Under poultry, we had two projects. We have secured through those two projects 38 permanent jobs and 150 temporary jobs, benefiting 28 beneficiaries, and they are distributed as 24 female and 4 males and 8 youth. The value was 27 million. Under red meat and piggery, we have three projects, 22 permanent jobs created, 10 temporary jobs, benefiting 22 beneficiaries, 8 females, 7 males, 7 youth, for the value of 6.5 million. With reference to our ostrich project, we continue to have this project in Gariep, and we are currently busy with the feed infrastructure. We've also secured partnership and market for them. With the Clean Karoo, and we hope that this project will be continued with a fish hatchery for the project in this current financial year. With grain, we had five projects benefiting, creating 25 permanent jobs and 145 temporary jobs. Beneficiaries being 25, 5 male, 5 female, 20 male, and 12 youth, for the value of 38.4 million. Chair, I'm just skipping through the evidence confirming what is it that we have done in terms of photos. Because the members are in possession of our presentation. What is it that we have planned for 2016-17? As indicated, we intend to continue with our fish processing plant in Gariep. and that will be the third phase of the project for the value of 8.3 million. And as members had indicated, that project must identify where projects are in which localities, and we have done exactly that in sharing that information. We will continue to maintain our fish hatchery, and we will invest $2 million in that process. The project of the ostrich feed processing plant, which will be on the third phase, we will spend $6.5 million. The Harib Mega Park, it will be on its second phase of construction. We are currently focusing on fencing three identified game farms for our beneficiaries that have been identified, and we'll be also dealing with the water reticulation issues and the game inputs that are required in order to complete the second phase for 4.8 million. In the Metro Chair, we'll continue to promote red meat production, continuing with the Mangaung sheep and goat processing facility for the value of 4.8 million. We will also continue with the Mangaung vegetable project in Tabanchu irrigation for the value of 4 million. And in Lejweleputswa, we will continue with our Brantford piggery for the value of 3.5 million. And we have already identified the land where we need to construct our agri-park. We are in the process of finalizing the EIA. We have completed the process of fencing the land, and we hope that the partnership that we have with the Department of Land Affairs, Rural Development and Land Affairs, will also finalize the feasibility study that they have undertaken for this project to be fully implemented. We are building a poultry hub chair for Virginia, which is a mining town. With this investment, we will have invested six poultry houses of a capacity of 40,000 each, and this year we intend to invest 18 million. We have a youth development project called Battle Farming, also in Virginia. We'll invest 2.8 million there. Tabamufutsanyane, we will continue with our agri-park there, Chair, and invest 7.5 million. We also have a Frede Peak final phase of investment from our size for 1.5 million. Are you sure? The Fixback female vegetable processing facility at Velamina Chair, we continue to invest. We will invest 5 million there. And then the Tabumfutsanyane fodder production for felt management and processing project, will invest 2.5 million there. With regards to our land care project, sorry members. With regards to our land care project, we we confirm, Chair, that we have invested in dealing with the challenges that we are having there, and in the main is to deal with invader plants, and we have attached the list of areas where we have achieved in terms of land care. And we've also provided a picture to indicate the team that have successfully completed the process of being trained. And we are proud that this is an opportunity that is creating training and community awareness, and creating skills, local skills for community to be able to intervene going forward in the challenges of land care. We can pass all the photos and we go to the 2016-17 investment that we intend to do. Here we are reflecting the different areas that will continue to eradicate the invader plant and the budgets that we have set aside and the localities where we'll be doing the intervention around land care issues. Like all the other provinces, Chair, we are also indicating our spending performance for the first quarter. And we expected to be at 25%. We were at 22% spending in the first quarter. But the situation has actually picked up. And as and when we report the second quarter going forward, it will be a different picture altogether. We have also attached as to how we are doing with regard to the expenditure with regard to the to CASP, Landcare, EPWP, and Ilimalitsema. All our five agri-parks shared, we have secured the land. We have finalized the processes of EIAs. We have fenced the land to ensure that we protect the land. Where we needed to invest, we have invested, but the bulk of the investment is dependent on the feasibility studies that are commissioned by our sister departments, and as and when they complete that process, we will then be able to come in. But from a production point of view, we are ready and we are on the ground assisting different farmers to produce so that by the time the infrastructure is ready, we can then be able to utilize it fully. We can pass all the agri-parks and all the... When you go to the issue of drought situation, Chair, we confirm the presentation as presented by ARC and also confirm that we have a good working relationship with the South African Weather Service. We provide our farmers with an early warning system. As and when information we received, we are able to share it with them because we have encouraged them to register with us. And we have a bulk SMS system that we are sharing the information with them. But it is now a known secret, Chair, that the rivers in the Free State are severely affected. There is a serious drop in the waters. And we, as of Monday, we have begun the process of reevaluating our plan and indicating so that we can then be able to indicate as to whether are we going to continue with the original plan or do we need to make changes where we changes are needed. We confirm that our interventions of the drought is the second last slide, that we have been able to provide feed, we have been able to assist farmers with the drilling of boreholes, and we have also been able to target commercial farmers in the interventions of drought that we were engaged in, and we'll continue to do that. But as I've indicated, Chair, we are doing all that within the understanding that we are targeting those that have responded to the applications that we have issued and those that we have done the assessment to evaluate the extent of the impact, and on the basis of that then be able to provide the necessary support. The bulk of the slides, Chair, is just the evidence confirmation of the work that we are doing and the impact of the drought. And we confirm that we are ready and able to continue to provide support to farmers who have affected by drought through fodder provision, continue with the drilling of boreholes, continue with training and awareness, development of and management of our early warning system, the pre- and post-disaster hazard assessment that we provide to farmers, and continue to assist them with making of fire breaks linked to the budget that is available. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Freestat. Let's have Houghton. Now I will do your turn, Houghton. Yeah. Actually, you are like a Western Cape. Western Cape has got is the host, so they will have to come last. Your disadvantage is that you've got a lot of flights.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. Chair, I will not be presenting. Mutajo, the Chief Director for Agriculture, will present. But I just want to highlight a few things to the Chair and the honorable members. Chair, as you know, Gauteng is a small province, high population in migration, so food security is really an issue.
Where is your MEC?
Chair, we just had an ex-co lekgotla over the last 2 days, so the MEC is involved in the post lekgotla discussions. But Chair, yes, indeed, there was supposed to be an apology coming from his office. We apologize. Okay. Just to say, we have 23% of the population, plus or minus, is growing rapidly. So food security is an issue. But what is not linked to that is the budget that we have been getting. And maybe for our sins, our records when it comes to expenditure over the past years, but we are currently working with the national office to try and address that. It is for this reason that we really trying to access other sources of funding, Chairperson, as a department to complement the little budget that we have. Working with the private sector, we are investing a lot of energy in building partnerships so that we are able to leverage additional funding. What is also important to mention here is, and is going to be reflected in the presentation itself, we have identified agro-processing as our niche for obvious reasons. We don't have land, so we can't be involved in primary agriculture as extensively as other provinces are, but because we have certain advantages in terms of the infrastructure. But what I would also like to highlight here is going forward, we are trying to rectify the manner in which we have been supporting farmers. With the little budget that we have, the practice has been to stretch the rent to cover as many farmers as possible. However, we do see that we're not having an impact. So going forward, you will see the number of farmers that we are supporting actually decreasing because we want to intensify the kind of support that we provide for better results. With your permission, I will hand over to Mutlajo to do the presentation.
Okay, thank you, HOD, thank you, Chairperson, members, and colleagues. I want to make a disclaimer from the onset and apologize that we have made some amendments. They are not much, but we have tried to consolidate some of the slides. So I will do indicate where we have consolidated. In the first two slides, we have consolidated them into one, which basically speak to the presentation outline. We would cover the overview of the province, the policy imperatives, and then we would speak to some projects, high-value chain projects, and then we would highlight the plans for Feta Tlala for 16-17, and we'll also do the alignment to agriculture policy action plan, and we would speak to farmer training, extension recovery, and there are no specific projects related to drought that are in the slides that you have. So part of the amendments that we have made is that I've made some additions with regard to drought, as well as in particular the drought, taking from the earlier discussions that were held in the House. As an opener, the province, as the HOD has highlighted, is the smallest of all the provinces, basically comprising of 1.7 million hectares, and it's only 1.4% of the surface area of the country in comparison to all the other provinces. And we now have the highest number of population. However, in terms of the funding that we receive with regard to agriculture program, we are one of the lowest if you take into consideration specifically programs such as CASP and Litima Ilima. So we are one of the lowest, but we are increasingly getting a number of farmers in line with the in-migration aspect that the HOD raised at the opening of the presentation. So just to highlight I'm going to skip the vision and mission, and then I have brought this slide, it's in the presentation later, but I've brought it forward as well just to link to the policy context of the province of the radical transformation, modernization and reindustrialization program as one of the key drivers of our policy policy for the province and for agriculture development. I'm going to jump this slide because it's linked to the introduction that we have made. What is key in this particular slide is to highlight the fact that Gauteng nationally is still a major contributor, but that we are now trying to leverage from the number of people that are coming to with regard to agrotourism and ecotourism, that we are trying to link that into our programs for agriculture such that we are able to show the linkages and leverage from that economically. In terms of the current contribution, the province remains one of those that from primary production, we are not well endowed, so we are contributing just 0.4% of the GDP to the GDP of the province, and we don't expect the number to increase because our resources are not increasing. But with the technologies that we are exploring, where especially the intensification technologies, we see some potential that the net gross value product for agriculture can be able to increase, even though relative to other sectors such as finance, we cannot outcompete. So we don't see the contribution to the GDP increasing over the long term because of that aspect of other sectors. The province has recently launched the overarching strategy for the Gauteng City region, and this is basically to try and leverage from the provinces, from the neighbors, in terms of the resources that are there, and to leverage from the primary production strength of the neighboring provinces. So the strategy has 6 pillars, and I would not go into them, but the emphasis of the presentation with regard to links primarily to the third pillar, where we will be talking a lot about value chain cluster development for the various commodities that are funded by our CASP program, as well as Litima Ilima program. I am going to go through quickly this slide that talks to the policy context, the linkage to national development plan, the issues of the 1 million jobs. We are targeting to make a contribution of almost 120,000 jobs as a province, and it's not specified. I must apologize in the presentation. I'm going to talk to some high-impact projects that we see having the potential as the province or some of the competitive advantage, and that falls within the commodity of vegetables in particular, and they are linked to agri-parks. So Gauteng have developed an agri-parks program, and in that agri-parks program, we are emphasizing high-impact technology, such as the vertical growth chamber farming systems. We are going to talk to that. There is also linkage to the agro-processing program that we identify as one of our core competencies as the province. So we will also touch on that. The next set of pictures just shows the technology that we are investing in. And the advantages of this technology is the saving on the land, on the space or land, which we are not, which we don't have much of, but we can still be able to have high yield. So these slides you would not have in the presentation, and again, apologies are expressed in that regard. It's the vertical technology. So with the normal standard tunnel, one can be able to produce 16,300 plants, which are equivalent to 16 standard tunnel in one tunnel because of growing crops vertically. So this is one technology that we see can be able to attract the youth. And on the one hand, we also see that it can be able to save us with regard to the technical challenges that we have around land in the province of Gauteng. The benefit of it as well is that it also helps with regard to climate change problems, and on the one hand also that the harvest times are shortened because of the ability to manage the climate in those in that tunnel. So that is just another picture of the production that is taking place at the one of the Western Area at the Western Area Agri Park. Now it will be within the Rand West municipality, one of the newly combined municipalities. Our primary commodities for the province, in line with APAP, are horticulture. Specifically, as province, we contributing 21% of Gauteng gross value add is coming from horticulture value chain, with specific reference to vegetables, cut flowers, herbs and essential oils. And we see an opportunity by virtue of proximity to large population and growing middle class. And the intervention is that we are helping farmers now to bulk up. In the next subsequent slides, you will see some of the infrastructure where farmers would be able to bulk up their produce. That is the first commodity that we see as having a growth potential for the province and high labor absorption for the province. Second commodity is the grains integrated with poultry. And the next commodity is red meat value chain. And specifically in this particular, the province is looking at the possibility of linking with mobile abattoir program. That can be aligned to the agri-parks as well. I must indicate that 59% of Gauteng gross farm income comes from livestock, predominantly in feedlots. The biggest feedlots in the country are currently within the Gauteng province, Karen beef and being one of them, Chama beef being the next one. Just to highlight the agri-parks model that we are following, we are trying to link smallholder farmers with formal markets through offtake agreements that the department has negotiated with a number of companies, and also leveraging on the agreements that DAF has already negotiated with companies such as Tiger Brands. So each agri-park will be a critical link between formal markets and smallholder farmers, and it will serve as intermediary and distribution facility. And management of each is on a private-public partnership to ensure balance with economic and development goals. And Now, just looking at Fetsatlala, GDAT is already interacting with grain producers in the province. The challenge that we have had was that the rain was still a problem. The lands were still dry. You might have realized the water restrictions that we were also that were also being imposed by various water boards and municipal service providers that are providing water. So GDAT has identified crop farmers, and it has already procured crop production inputs. And just linking to the presentation made earlier by the ARC as well with regard to the drought tolerant, the procurement is already engaging the suppliers and the ARC itself in regard to acquiring the drought tolerant maize seed that is available. And just to add on that as well, we have through our research program funded the University of Pretoria to test the current maize varieties that are in the market in terms of their tolerance level to drought and to the conditions of Gauteng. And we have a report that indicates which ones are much more tolerable for our conditions in Gauteng. So our through our procurement, we have specified those that have already been tested through our research program. This is just another slide that would indicate the programs, agro-processing, agri-parks. Maize is one of the key programs, so I'm going to jump through that slide. We have added this picture just to show the poultry production that is taking place in the province. And the agri-parks, this is the one from Merafong, Carltonville. With specific, the agri-parks program for the province is being undertaken in phases, and the phase one was for horticulture, and the phase two is going to be focusing on poultry in particular. And this is just another poultry project for Ms. Pusisiwe Tomela. Okay, I will jump this slide for the purpose of the CASP grant. Okay. All right, I will also go through this slide quickly with regard to the policy imperatives. We also have a project, 21 Sao Pigari Structure, Sianeho project, which has been funded by the CASP grant for 15-16. And I'm going to talk to the program allocations in 2016-17. And where we are with regard to spending. The province is putting in 65 million for equitable share. With CASP, we have been allocated 70 million, and we have to date spent 6 million. Our target was to spend 7 in the first quarter. And with regard to extension recovery plan, we have been allocated 14 million. And we have spent 3.37, and with regard to ILIMA, 26 million, and we have spent 21 million. So we have done well on ILIMA as well as on land care, where we have, with regard to land care, our allocation was 85 million, and we have already spent 75 million. Okay, just another picture for the projects. The activities, the planned activities, according to commodities, with regard to maize, we have budgeted 3.6 million to support 30 projects, and there is a expectation of number of farmers targeted will be 30. With regard to vegetables, there is we have budgeted 14. Million to support 52 projects, and the number of farmers targeted is 47 and 8 co-ops. And then with regard to red meat, we have targeted we have been allocated 1.2 million, and we have targeted 5 big farms to increase the support towards ensuring that those farmers in the red meat reach commercialization stage fully. And then with regard to poultry, 18 million. And we are expecting almost 14 farmers to be assisted. And with regard to piggery, 16 million and 16 farmers to be assisted. The next slide just shows the breakdown according to those commodities, and it links to the previous slides that I've spoken about. And all in all, it's 79 projects planned that will be supported in all the districts of Gauteng. The job creation, we targeting that with regard to agri-parks in particular, 180 jobs would be created per agri-park. That will be based on 30 jobs and 90 seasonal jobs and 60 indirect jobs. And with regard to farmer training, there is an allocation of 7 million, and the target is for training of 650 farmers, and 250 have already been trained in the first quarter. Expenditure, 250,000 has been the expenditure in the first quarter, and 71 farmers have been trained. My apologies for that. With regard to extension recovery program, the province does not have a plan of recruiting new extension officers. In essence, the current situation is that we are almost meeting the ratio that DAF is aiming to meet with regard to other provinces. So we don't have the plan. However, we have 14 million that is been allocated to all the various pillars of the ERP. And there are 121 extension officers who are currently being trained according to the training plan in the province. And the with regard to community gardens or households benefiting, we have within Tshwane allocated 2.3 million, and the actual output of food security initiative supported in quarter one is 233. For city of Ekurhuleni, it's 116, and the quarter one is 116 supported, and for Sidibeng is 1,167, and the actual for quarter one in terms of farmer supported is 116. So for West Rand is 118 against the target of 1,168 for the year. So 700 community gardens and food security initiatives have been supported for this past quarter. With regard to cultivation for maize in particular, this talks to the 2,600 that has been mentioned. No cultivation has taken place as yet. Some farmers have started to undertake preparation, although very limited due to the dry lands that were being experienced. So there is a very limited preparation. We had a little bit of small first rains this past weekend, so we're hoping that we'll see increased number of farmers undertaking preparation. And while on that, just to chip in to say that the mechanization program for the department is also in place with the 72 tractors. We are working together with municipalities and co-ops to ensure that they are all ready for assisting the farmers when the more rains come. This would be the last slide, I think, in the attached presentation that speaks to the agri-parks infrastructure that has already been developed. The Western area, which is now under Rand West municipality, is now operating. Some of the lettuce crop, it's already there. And in all those agri-parks infrastructure, we have built-in training facilities. Gauteng does not have agricultural colleges per se, so we have built-in training rooms in all the infrastructure for agri-parks that we have put in place. There would be pack houses, there would be training rooms, but there will also be comfort facilities, ablution facilities as well in all of them. The next set of slides you would not have in your presentation. These are the drought highlights that have been added, drawing from the discussions that were held earlier on. The department had identified and recorded a total of 1,550 farmers with just under 30,000 of livestock affected. And we verified 48 dead livestock. And so that would be a limited number in comparison to other large provinces. We prioritized livestock farmers due to vulnerability of livestock, and we provided animal feed. Animal feed was procured to and delivered to farmers. We ensured that the feed we supplied was going to cover farmers throughout the winter period, so we supplied adequate infrastructure for that. And we also supplied water infrastructure in the form of boreholes, animal drinking troughs, water tanks, generators for pumping the boreholes was given to farmers individually and through livestock association as well, where the boreholes, where there's no proximity to electricity close by. So that is just the breakdown of the livestock affected by drought per district, per metro and per district. And I will jump through that slide. We had engagement with where we also had a roadshow by the Deputy Minister in March this year, where he launched some of the completed projects for drought, particularly water infrastructure projects. And then we supplied grass bales, total mix rations, phosphate leaks. In terms of water infrastructure, we supplied, we drilled boreholes, and then we supplied generators where there was no electricity, water tanks, drinking animal drinking troughs as well. And these are just the type of feed that were distributed, concentrate feed, salt leaks containing minerals ideal for growth for all livestock. The province made available 21 million in this particular regard to the reprioritized CASP and Letsema amount of 12.8 million. So all in all, the province had a budget of 33.8 million allocated towards supporting farmers during the drought for the last financial year. These are just pictures of farmers collecting with their small buckets. And just to conclude, the province remains the only one that was not declared. The due processes were undertaken together with the Provincial Disaster Management Center to make an assessment. And as EXCO instructed that we should work jointly to mobilize funding to assist the smallholder farmers in particular who were mostly affected by the drought. This was the end of the presentation, Chairperson, and thank you.
Thank you, Gauteng. This was the last province to present. So we have 5 minutes break, stretch legs, and then come back for discussion.
Yeah, they presented already. Yeah.
And then
yeah, so
continue.